House Speaker Becky Lockhart names 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats to Special Investigative Committee of Utah AG John Swallow. Retail sales in Salt Lake City are up, but not at the Gateway. And the Utah Museum of Natural History announces the discovery of a new kind of dinosaur. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, July 18th. I'm Brian Grimmett. House Speaker Becky Lockhart has announced the names of the representatives who will serve on the special committee investigating Utah Attorney General John Swallow. The committee will consist of 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats. Republican Representative Lowry Snow, who is a former president of the Utah State Bar, will chair the committee. Representatives Brad Dee, Jim Dunnigan, Lee Perry, and Mike McKell are the other Republicans named to the committee. Representatives Jennifer Seelig, Rebecca Chavez-Houck, Lynn Hemingway, and Susan Duckworth are the Democrats. Speaker Lockhart says she feels the 5-4 split was what the majority of the House members wanted.
This is an issue that I do not see as partisan. It has to do with the people of Utah and their trust.
House Minority Leader Jennifer Seelig is ready to serve on the committee and says she feels good about the members Lockhart selected.
I think the 5-4 split is fair. I think that it helps balance out the variable of political party and helps us get through that perception to the real issues at hand.
During a special session of the Utah Legislature, the House and Senate also approved 3 bills making changes to the functions of the Special Investigative Committee. The legislation allows the House Special Investigative Committee the power to subpoena witnesses, grant immunity, and close their meetings under certain circumstances. The bills also allow the committee to grant attorneys and investigators from outside the state the right to practice in Utah. A report released Tuesday shows that retail sales in downtown Salt Lake City were up 36% last year, largely driven by business at City Creek Center. But some businesses at the Gateway Shopping Center say they are not seeing the same trend. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
To find Bear Country cookies at the Gateway Shopping Center, you just follow your nose. Down the escalator from the movie theater, past some restaurants, you start to smell the cinnamon, almond, lemon, and butter. Owner Joel Clark says they rely on that smell to bring people in.
Cookies are really kind of an impulse buy. So when people are at the mall, they love to come over to Bear Country Cookies and grab a cookie. That's fun. It's an impulsive thing, but we need foot traffic to sustain it. But there just aren't enough people here at the Gateway to keep our sales up like they used to be.
Clark says his business has consistently done well since they opened in 2003, one of the first shops at the Gateway. But sales have dropped 35% since City Creek Center opened in downtown Salt Lake more than a year ago. Across the street from Clark's store at JMR, a young adult clothing shop, assistant manager Madison Martin is rearranging clothes for a summer sidewalk sale. Martin is also seeing fewer customers.
Last summer, it was like constant people in and out of the store, and now there's hardly anyone.
But Martin is hopeful that the situation is temporary, that the Gateway will appeal to younger people and those interested in some of the local boutique stores that have moved in to replace the businesses that have left.
I mean, our numbers have definitely gone down from last year, but they'll pick back up, I hope. And once people realize, like, they're going to go to City Creek for certain things and they'll come here for certain things, so I think the Gateway will flourish again, but it's just going to take a little bit of time.
A recent economic benchmark report commissioned by Salt Lake City's Downtown Alliance sees new retail leasing activity at the Gateway as a positive sign that sales will go up. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The dinosaurs related to Triceratops had a wide variety in the way they looked, with different horn and crest configurations. The new species announced yesterday at the Utah Museum of Natural History also had a great big nose. Dr. Scott Sampson led the study following the initial discovery at the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in 2006. He says the Nasutoceratops tatusi was unique.
Our prediction is that future discoveries will include other horned dinosaurs with similarly unornate frills and long horns over the nose.
Sampson says 76 million years ago, the area that is now Utah was much like southern Louisiana, but very hot. Now it's very hot and dry and extremely rugged.
And that's why this place remains arguably one of the last largely unexplored treasure troves of dinosaurs and other animals from the Mesozoic.
Samson encourages young people to study paleontology because he says there's still so much to find.
We're just scratching the surface, and there are many more discoveries to be found in Utah and in other places around the world. And I always want to make sure we tell kids this in particular, that those kids who want to grow up and be paleontologists, if they want to do that, there's lots of things to be found and discoveries to be made, and that's true for just about every area of science.
Samson says the second part of the dinosaur's name honors paleontologist Alan Titus for his years of research collaboration at the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. A recreation of the head of this newly discovered dinosaur is on display at the Triceratops Wall inside the Natural History Museum of Utah.
Utah lawmakers voted yesterday to repeal legislation that would have restricted the authority of federal law enforcement officers on public lands. KUER's Terry Gilday reports.
When it was originally passed by the legislature, House Bill 155 would have restricted the authority of federal officers from the Bureau of Land Management and other agencies and would not allow them to enforce state or local laws in Utah. A federal court issued an injunction to stop the law's implementation. On Wednesday, Utah lawmakers voted to completely repeal the legislation. Republican Representative Mike Noel, the bill's original sponsor, said the version never struck a balance between federal and state authorities.
One of the main intentions of the bill was to not recognize the authority of federal land management officials if they tried to invoke the Federal Assimilative Crimes Act, 18 United States Code, Section 13, to enforce and prosecute citizens under state law and local laws and ordinances.
Democratic Representative Brian King vented his frustration over the process on the House floor, saying the bill should never have been passed in the first place.
I'd like to think that we will learn something from this, and I question whether we will. So I'm voting in favor of this bill, but I don't like the process. I don't like how this has come to us. And if it weren't for the fact that I voted against it to begin with, I would not be voting in favor of this bill.
The repeal passed unanimously in the House and by a vote of 24-3 in the Senate. Representative Noel indicated he's drafting a new bill he plans to present during the next session. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
In the midst of debates over gun rights and ownership in Utah, a new group has formed to advocate for hunting and shooting sports. KUER's Nicole Nixon has the story.
The group Hunting Works for Utah is a new chapter of a national organization. Its basic message is that hunting is a big business and it brings substantial revenue to the state. A recent study by the Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation found that 200,000 people hunt in Utah every year. That brings more than $500 million to the state's economy through equipment, licensing, and trips. Adam Massey is the executive director of the Vernal Area Chamber of Commerce and a co-chair of Hunting Works for Utah. He says the business done for hunters and sports shooters is especially felt in rural communities.
They buy fuel, they eat in our restaurants, they stay in our motels, and it's a huge ripple effect.
Greg Sheehan is the director of the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. He says the division relies heavily on funds from hunting and fishing licenses.
Many people don't understand that the sale of hunting and fishing licenses in our society pays for the majority of wildlife management.
The grassroots organization has over 30 partners throughout the state that benefit from hunting. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
Roy Police Chief Greg Winham resigned yesterday, but no one with the city is saying exactly why. He was placed on administrative leave after some emails were sent to city officials containing allegations of misconduct. The Layton City Attorney's Office investigated, but wouldn't say just what the allegations were. And finally, once again, Utah ranks at the bottom of the nation in school spending per student. The National Center for Education Statistics looked at school expenditures in all 50 states and Washington, D.C. Utah spent $6,326 per student in 2011, lower than any other state and more than $4,300 less than the national average. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, July 18th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.